Well, good afternoon to all of you. Hope you all had a really nice night to be much observed. And so here we are celebrating the first day of unleavened bread with 6 days to follow. Well, today I don't have a long message to give you, but I do want to cover a verse that couple of verses that run the Protestants nuts, really. I mean, when they read this this verse, they say, wait a minute, that can't really mean what it says, does it? And so they come up with all kinds of workarounds and excuses to spiritualize away the simple verse. So if you turn to 1 Corinthians 5, and we're just going to talk about a couple of verses here. 1 Corinthians 5, and we're going to look at verse 7 and 8. This is the Apostle Paul, of course, speaking to the Corinthian church, a Gentile church. Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Verse 8, therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, I suppose you've read this section many times. I know I've read it a lot of times, and it's so simple to understand. And the highly educated religious people of this world don't understand it. And yet you and I understand it. And I don't have any letters behind my name. I could put some there, but it wouldn't mean much. So let's highlight some of the words here. He says, therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. You truly are unleavened. What does he mean? He means exactly what he said. You are truly unleavened. And of course, the pundits who don't like this say, well, he's probably speaking spiritually. They're unleavened spiritually. They wouldn't be bothered with that old covenant idea of eating unleavened bread and get rid of leavening. But notice, let's turn back to the first part of the chapter 5, verse 1. And here's what Paul says of the Corinthian church. He said, it's actually reported that there is a sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. And of course, that's a shocking statement, but obviously it means stepmother, not his own mother. That's what I'm trying to say. But a lady that his father married in some way or another. So what happens to this workaround that they were spiritually unleavened? You know, they're spiritually clean. You know, being unleavened sort of means you're clean, you know, because leaven is often used as a as a type of sin. Now let's read verse 8 carefully. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness. So, what I wanted to bring out here, it says, so let us keep the feast. Plain English, let us keep the feast. Albert Barnes, in Barnes' notes, says this word, feast, actually would be better translated holy day. So Albert Barnes is saying, let us keep the holy day. And and by extension, the holy days, plural. And Robertson makes some other excuse, but I don't think I'll go into that. But he has another way of spiritualizing around it, but it doesn't hold water, really. So it's actually pretty plain, isn't it, that we should be keeping the days of unleavened bread, and that we should be keeping the feast like we are today. It's very plain. But what I want to do today is to go into this idea of sincerity and truth and expand a little bit on what Paul meant by that. The word sincere in English means without dissimulation, honest. It also means pure and without hypocrisy. Now, what's interesting here is the word hypocrisy. We're familiar with that word. We know, we think a hypocrite is one who says one thing and does another. But in the first century, the word hypocrite or hypocrisy meant something almost entirely different than it does today. In the first century, a hypocrite was just an actor. That's all it was, nothing more, just an actor. And it means one who pretends, one who says he or she is something that they aren't. They're acting, they're pretending to be something that they're not. That's what it meant then. It didn't really have the real negative connotation that it does today. It's a negative in a source, in a sense, but not to the extent that it has today. The actual meaning, according to Merriam-Webster, of the word hypocrite is an interpreter from underneath. An interpreter from underneath. What does that mean? An interpreter from underneath. What that means actually is the one who is wearing a mask. In the first century, the way they put on plays was the actor would take a portable mask and he'd put it over his face. And if the image on the mask was a good guy, then he was a good guy. But if the image on the mask is in it, then he says his lines and he's a good guy. And then later on in the play, he might grab another mask and now he's a bad guy. And so he talks like a bad guy. I had this idea that, I don't know if I should tell you about it, but I think I will. I had this idea, I was going to take a piece of paper on my printer, print an image of myself, and I was going to say, okay, this is a good guy. And then I was going to have an image of somebody else here, and I won't tell you. Yeah, I think I will tell you. One of the elders here, I was going to put on there and say, this is a bad guy. But I decided not to do that. So anyway, you can see why Merriam-Webster says it's an interpreter from underneath. The one who is underneath the mask has to portray the image on the mask. So he is an interpreter. Now the Jews do another funny thing. And I'd like to tell you a little bit about that. Let's turn to Mark 12. And I'll just read one verse there. You may have heard this before. I don't know. I think I mentioned it years and years ago. I really don't remember. Well, I do remember that I did years and years ago. Matthew 12, verse 41. The first elder I ever heard mention this was Dean Wilson, an old-time elder from Worldwide. And verse 41 says, of Matthew 12 says, Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many were rich and put in much. And Mr. Wilson, he said, notice it says he wants to see how they put the money in, how they put the money in. And I'd never noticed that before, but that's what it says. He wanted to know how they put money into the treasury. Well, there's a reason it's written that way. I'd like to read verse 41 in the Young's Literal. A literal translation uses the base meaning of words generally. Here's what Young says. And Jesus, having set over against the treasury, was beholding how the multitude put brass into the treasury, and many rich were putting in much. Why did he use the word brass there? The reason he used the word brass there is because he was emphasizing they put in coins. And guess what they put the coins in? They put the coins in a collection thing, which was made out of bronze or brass or copper, and it was shaped like a trumpet. It was small on the bottom, and then it flared out in the top. Now, the Pharisees, being smart fellows that they were, they took their half shekel, which they had to put in there, and they changed the half shekel for smaller denominations, so they had lots of coins, like maybe 10 or so. So they would come by and they'd throw those 10 coins into the brass trumpet, and it made a bunch of noise. And guess what? Everybody would know, wow, they've put all kinds of things in the treasury. Those Pharisees are really wonderful guys. They really are. And so that's the way they operated. That's why Christ said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Actually, I guess I wanted to cover a little more on this. Matthew 6, read a little there about this. And you can see the Bible doesn't really call this out specifically, but you can get little hints here and there. In Matthew 6, it says, take heed that you do not your charitable deeds before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you that they have their reward. Here again, the commentators go nuts with this verse, and they kind of think, I think Jesus is exaggerating here, because there's no record of Pharisees going around tooting a trumpet when they give alms. There's no record of that happening. And so apparently what Jesus was referring to was this idea of throwing coins into these collection containers, which were shaped like a trumpet. And so there was a metaphor that came about that was blowing the trumpet. When you threw your coins into this collection device, you were blowing the trumpet. Now, whether or not that's absolutely true, I don't know. I can't recall what commentator I got that from, but he was adamant that that was the case. As a matter of fact, he even said there were 13 of those collection vessels there. And I don't know where he got that figure, maybe from the Talmud or something. I really don't know. But anyway, it goes to show you just how deceitful and what hypocrites the Pharisees were. As a matter of fact, the 23rd chapter of Matthew uses the word, Jesus used the word hypocrite seven times in verse 23. And in all of Matthew, he used, not necessarily Jesus, but the word hypocrite is used 14 times. So the Pharisees were fairly well known as hypocrites, actors, play actors, phonies, really. You know, today, you know, it talks about, Paul said, keeping the holy day in truth. Well, what is the truth? The truth, John 17:17, that should be a memory verse for most of you. John 17:17 says, your word is truth. You know, this is the truth. You know, the stuff you get elsewhere may not be the truth. Some of it may be, but not all. This is all true, the whole thing, as originally written in the original language. So anyway, the lesson is we should not be hypocrites and keep this holy day in sincerity and truth. So I have three lessons I think that we can learn from here. These two simple verses. The Apostle Paul and the early church were keeping the same holy days we are. There's no doubt about it, if you believe what these two verses say. Number two, they were physically unleavened, just like we are. That's what Paul said, as you are unleavened. And number three, there's much more to it than just physically unleavening your house and your so on. We need to learn the deeper lesson of sincerity and truth. So I hope we have a wonderful Feast of Unleavened Bread.